The Outdoorsman Radio Show is brought to you by Ellis Outdoors, LLC. This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis. Hey, good morning, everybody. Alan Ellis here. This is the, and Miss Robin is here, 410 WCBM 680 is our phone number. If you'd like to talk about summer fishing with our guest, Eric Zlokovich. Morning, Eric. How are you doing this morning?
Hey, I'm doing good, Alan.
Good, good. Welcome back to the Outdoors and Radio Show. Been a couple months since you've been on, so
welcome
back. And we're going to talk a little bit about fishing here in Maryland in the summertime.
That's right. Yeah.
And the water temperatures are up due to all that massive heat we had in the past few weeks. It's starting to cool down a little bit now, which is a good thing. But plenty of opportunities out there.
Oh, yeah. You know, with this, you know, with the really warm water temperatures, I think we have a kind of a pattern with the rockfish similar to last year, where a lot of the fish kind of moved up to the upper part of the bay, above the Bay Bridge, and they're kind of looking for that cooler, more oxygenated water.
Right.
And you know, there's been a big fleet of boats working, you know, anywhere from Sandy Point up to, you know, Baltimore Light off the mouth of the Magosee, up and then all the way up to Love Point. And in the last few days, we wrote about this. Keith wrote about this in the fishing report on the DNR fishing report on Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
They actually shifted up a little further north and east now, where it's actually more up off Love Point than Swan Point now is where the better action is.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of guys have been chumming, you know, or that's kind of how it started.
Right.
A lot of chumming, chunking with small pieces of menhaden. And then maybe trying a few bigger pieces way back in the chum slick with some heavier weight for the bigger fish.
Mm-hmm.
But now there's a more spot, you know, showing up finally. They have shown up around the mouth of the Magosee and the Chester River mouth. And some guys are using, you know, a live spot now.
Live lining spot, yeah.
Mm-hmm. There you go. And yeah, you catch a slightly, I think you kind of tend to catch a slightly larger fish on the live spot. Yeah.
Yeah, we've seen them go. Anybody that is headed to the eastern shore and looks left, going across the bridge, or if they're coming back, headed east to the eastern shore, and if they're coming back west, you look to the right. But that whole 7-foot knoll, Sandy Point area, I mean, that's just covered up with boats.
Oh, right.
Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah. A lot of boats out there.
I know.
You know, and you can almost tell the chummers from the live liners. The live liners are the ones that are sitting there under the pilings, you know. And,
right.
Yeah, you know, so that's pretty funny.
And some guys are actually still doing okay with artificial lures, but you kind of have to get away from the fleet and, you know, mark some fish on some structure. You know, you got to get away from the chumming and live line fleet, though, you know.
Yeah.
If you're going to do artificials. And I've heard that they're catching some up inside the Chester River now and up, you know, and down, even down in the Chop Tank and a little bit off Poplar Island. You know, if you can find some breaking fish, you can fish under the smaller breaking fish and sometimes catch a few keeper size fish on lead head jigs.
Yeah, bigger, little bigger bait, like a 3/4 ounce jig head with a, you know, with a plastic worm or a plastic shad on it. It'll, you know, get you down there quicker and get you below those little fish and, you know, get out from under them. So, and there's probably some bluefish mixed in under there too.
Yeah. The bluefish have started kind of moving in a little bit above to the middle bay and above the bay bridge a little bit. And you're exactly right. The heavier lead head, like a 3/4 ounce or maybe a 1 ounce in some conditions. And I think, you know, those plastic skirted jigs that everybody's talking about now, they seem to work pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just started using them this year and they work pretty good. I think on the larger fish, they have I guess they have some interesting action and a different profile, you know.
You're right. It's a different profile. Yeah. Your hair jigs, your bucktail jigs, tend to have a slimmer profile, whereas the synthetic, hair jig, you know, the, what do you call it? Silicon, I guess, skirt on it will tend to be a little wider and present a wider profile, more like an L-wive or something like that, rather than a minnow of some kind, you know.
So. Yeah, exactly, and it's basically sort of like the old jigging pig or the spinnerbait skirt.
Exactly.
That's what that plastic skirt is, and
yep.
Yeah, and then you just tip that with, you know, a BKD or one of these Z-Mans or one of these, you know, any of these plastic trailers that you can find in the local tackle shop.
Yep.
So, yeah, I'm buying in. I think those jigs work.
Sure.
But if you're in an area where they're feeding on small bay anchovies or small bait, which happens now or in August,
right,
especially off poplar, you got to go down to a slimmer profile.
Yep, half ounce, 1/4 ounce jig with a hair skirt on it, and not much of a. Yeah, you're right. You know, imitate the bait.
Match the hatch.
Match the hatch. Exactly right. So we also want to throw out there about if you're chumming or if you're live line and you want to make sure you use a circle hook.
Yes. Right. Use the circle hooks because you're more likely to hook the fish like in the corner of the mouth that way. You just have to remember when you fish with a circle hook, you have to kind of just wait for the fish to put pressure on the line and don't set the hook because you'll pull it right out of their mouth.
Right.
You kind of have to let the fish hook themselves. And the circle hooks also work. They do work with live bait. It just takes a little bit of experience, kind of getting used to them.
A little practice on it. Yep.
Yeah. But they do work, and yeah, we're trying to cut down on the mortality, and then it's easier to release the fish when they are hooked, obviously, in the corner of the mouth.
Sure.
Yeah,
especially the undersized fish, of course. That's the thing, you know. If you get one that's 19 and a half and you're going to have to throw it back, you may as well. You know, here's the other thing I like with chumming. I like to press the barb down on this, even on a circle hook. You know, even though you're going to the fish fights the bend of the hook. The fish doesn't fight the barb. The fish fights the bend. Okay, that's where you apply the pressure. That's what brings the fish in. It's not that they're thrashing and are going to get off the line like that. If you keep pressure on the line and, you know, keep your rod up and a nice bend in your rod while you're fighting the fish, as soon as you drop the tip down, of course you're going to give slack, and any fish can shake their head and get off at that point. But if you press if you're getting into a lot of smaller fish and you press the barb down on your hook, that's going to make unhooking a lot easier as well.
Oh yeah, definitely. It'll just slide right out.
Yeah, even circle hooks. You know, some people recommend filing them off. I don't know that you necessarily have to do that, but strong pair of dykes or pliers can just press that barb down on the hook, and the other key is a sharp hook. You got to keep your hook sharp, and you can't just poke a hole in a fish's face and expect it to stay if you don't cut all the way through.
Right.
Yeah, that's right. You know, you got to have a sharp hook, and it, you know, if you can scratch your thumbnail with it or hook into your thumbnail with it, it's probably pretty sharp. But if you can tap it a little bit and not feel uncomfortable, then it's not sharp enough. So.
Oh yeah, definitely yeah, and I've also noticed when I'm fishing with bait, either chunking or chumming or live lining.
Yeah.
Watch the point. You got it. Sometimes you'll get some little scales on the point.
Exactly.
From the bait, and you got to clear. That makes a difference. One little scale can make you miss fish. Yeah.
Sure.
And it'll keep the point from penetrating.
Yep, you're absolutely right.
The point has to be exposed, and make sure there's no scales or any other bait, you know, covering the point, you know, or you're not going to be able to set the hook. Yeah,
true. That's absolutely true.
So. Yeah, and I don't think that you don't have to hide the hook like you do maybe when you're tuna fishing offshore or something.
Right.
You know, but I think I do think when the fish get a lot of pressure in the bay, I think they do get a little bit leader shy, and some guys have found they do a little bit better with fluorocarbon leaders.
Sure.
Or just dropping the, you know, don't use a real, you don't really need a real heavy, like 50 pound test mono leader, you know.
No.
Drop it down to like 20, 30 pound material, and fluorocarbonite works if the fish are really heavily pressured. And on real sunny days, I think it does make a little bit of a difference.
I just started using braid on some of my spinning rods, and I just like the way it works. You know, you can go way down in size and still have 30-pound test if you want, or 20-pound test. And if you tie a nice ball bearing swivel on the end, and then tie a fluorocarbon leader on the other eye of the swivel. And then attach your hook. I mean, you know, that's it. That's the whole deal right there, you know.
Oh, that's right. Because then you have the sensitivity of the braid, and then you have that nice fluorocarbon leader,
right?
You know, in case the fish get a little bit line shy.
If you want to add weight, you put it on your braid above the swivel. You know, if you want to add a little half ounce, quarter ounce, whatever sliding weight, you know, to take it down in your chum slick a little deeper, you can do that too. So, So,
and I've used just egg sinkers at times.
Sure.
Live lining, or I've also had luck with those plastic fish finder sleeves, the sliding sinkers.
They're good too. Yep.
Yep. Yeah, so both of them work. And
well, the point is, you don't want the weight, you don't want the fish to feel the weight on the line. And in either case, with an egg sinker with a hole all the way through it, the line's going to slide through the sinker, or with a fish finder rig, the line's going to slide through that little plastic sleeve with the weight dropped down. So, you know, you want the fish to be able to take the line without feeling that extra weight that could cause the fish to drop the bait.
Right, yeah, so. Yep. And you just kind of experiment with different weights. Sometimes, you know, the fish are holding far deep and far back, and
yep.
you need to get weight. And sometimes they're up near the surface, and you go with very little weight.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I've chummed both ways. I've chummed all the way back as far as, you know, you can't even see the chum line anymore, and the fish are back there eating little chunks of chum that have gotten through, and I've fished right off the, you know, the stern. I mean, straight down almost, and you just, you know, and the fish are right there. So, right there, you know, like they're waiting for the chum to drop in the water to eat it, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a lot of experimentation, you know. If you go with somebody that knows what they're doing and successful, that's always a way to learn, you know. You don't always have to participate. You can always watch. And then once you watch and learn, then you can participate, you know. So.
Definitely. So. Yeah. And, so, you know, I think, you know, and for some folks, it's probably good, you know, if you want to try a charter boat first, if you're brand new.
Sure.
You know, we got charter boats on the Eastern Shore and the Western Shore, and that's a good, you know, good learning experience. And, you know, the boats, all the way down, all the way from Deal, you know, are participating in that Upper Bay fishery.
Sure, sure.
Some of them have moved temporarily up north during the season.
Yep.
Since it's been a pretty strong pattern with the fish moving north.
Well, the most fun you can have on a charter is to go out and spend the first half hour catching your bait, first hour catching your bait.
Yeah.
Catching your spot. You know, you're bottom fishing and you're catching a spot two at a time, and you know, sometimes there's a white perch, sometimes there's a little croaker or something like that. And you know, you just kind of get into it. You've hooked some fish, you know. Now you're ready to catch some bigger fish. So I always like that part when, you know, you can go out and catch your own bait first and then go fishing. So, but that's just me.
Yeah.
I like the whole thing, you know.
Oh yeah, definitely. I love catching the bait. I love the bottom fishing. It's actually really fun.
Yep.
And that's good for the kids.
Sure.
They like that.
And some of the spot out there are eaten size from what I'm hearing.
Yeah, the jumbo Norfolk spot. Yeah, there are some eating size fish out there. It just took them a long time to get up the bay this year.
Right.
On a good year, I've caught them up in the Severn on bloodworms on July 4th.
Right.
You know, when they make a strong push earlier in the year.
Right.
Now, this year there was nothing until early August in the Upper Bay.
It's all about food and oxygen. You know, you got to have the comfort zone there, and you got to have something for them to eat. So, you know, they know that far better than we do. So.
Yeah. Yeah, they also like a little higher salinity. So it's a combination of the salinity and the oxygen and temperature, right? And food. But the white perch. You mentioned the white perch. The white perch fishing has been pretty good for me in the rivers. I fish mostly in the Severn, and it's been good going back to May. I think it actually improved a little bit in recent weeks. For them, I fish, you know, the same top bottom rig that you would use for spot.
Sure.
And I use grass shrimp. Grass shrimp are very good for white perch. But if you want to catch a mix of fish, then bloodworms are hard to beat. You can also try the synthetic fish bites.
Right.
I actually have been doing well with perch fishing structure, like dock pilings.
Sure.
And in that case, I sometimes just take a single hook with a split shot and a grass shrimp, and I scoop up my own grass shrimp with a dip net, and just drop it straight down along the piling, and they'll kind of hit it as it's dropping down, or you just kind of let it settle near the bottom, and then you just kind of suspend it
right
alongside the piling with a split shot and a single, like, number six hook, and
yep.
Bam, you know, I was watching some of the old timers that have been fishing the river for years, and I noticed this simple split shot rig sometimes works better than anything.
Sometimes simpler is better, buddy.
Right.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Well, you know, that's what they tell you when you're bottom fishing. You know, you let your line out, and as soon as it hits the bottom, crank it in one turn on your rod, and you know, it's right there on the bottom, but off the bottom, and that's when you're going to get your bite. So I get it.
Yeah, right.
Hey, Eric, hang in there a minute. We got to take our first break, and we'll be right back after these messages. It's time for me to tell the folks about Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road. If you're getting excited about going fishing, well, Clyde's is your headquarters for all the stuff we're talking about, all the terminal tackle, the top and bottom rigs, the line, the fluorocarbon, the braid, the hooks, the circle hooks, the weights, the bait, you name it, Clyde's has got it. And if you need a new rod and reel, they've got those too. If you need to go, you know, pick their brain about what's best for bottom fishing or rock fishing or chumming or trolling or you name it, Clyde's has got the answer for fishing. They've also got all the good crabbing supplies too, the stackable crab traps, the trot lines, the bait, the chicken necks, the seasoning, the steamers. Well, you get the idea. 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway Exit 9. That phone number, 410-242-6108. They've been in business 60 years, celebrating their 60th anniversary. The 24-hour fishing hotline for all those suggestions, 247-FISH. That's Clyde Sports Shop. This is Alan Ellis for Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex Spray-On Bedliners. Linex Spray-On Bedliners are rated number one and carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex Spray-On Bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust in your bed. Your tools, your tackle, crabbing, and hunting gear can't hurt it. Choose the Linex Premium or the Linex Extra. Both look great. Bay Linex and Catonsville Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards, you get it. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex bed liner and truck gear accessories. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. 410-789-0199. 410-789-0199. Catonsville Linex, new location, 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill, just off Security Boulevard across from Coons Ford. 410-455-0800. 410-455-0800. Linex. For great fishing tackle, crabbing supplies, and up-to-date fishing and crabbing information, I recommend Fishbones Bait and Tackle in Pasadena. To get there, take Route 100 to the end. Hop on Mountain Road towards Gibson Island. Go 2.5 miles to 4729 Mountain Road. All you need for any type of fishing, crabbing, and the best fishing report on the Mid-Bay. Fishbones also carries the best stainless steel crab steamers you'll ever find. Call 410-360-0573, 410-360-0573 for Fishbones Bait and Tackle in Pasadena.
W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg is taking care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
Hey, we're back. Time to tell you about the great sale coming up on August 26th. It is the 26th, right? It's Saturday. Yes?
Yes.
Yes?
Yes.
You want to check that?
I already did.
Oh, all right. I love it. Yes, at Chesapeake Outdoors, right there on Route 50, exit 39B. That's Dominion Road. They got a full complement of fish and tackle, of course, as well for the Eastern Shore angler. All the bait, and you just stop in there for all that stuff. But you know, hunting season's right around the corner too. So they're going to have a big sale August 26th, right before Labor Day, right before the start of the bow season on September 8th. And you can save up to 75% on some items down there, that's for sure. They're going to round up a whole bunch of stuff. They're going to put it out for you. They're going to mark it. You're going to be able to save a lot of money going into the hunting season at Chesapeake Outdoors. So we'll give you more details as we get closer and closer and closer. But right now, mark your calendar date for August 26th at Chesapeake Outdoors. You know, they're open 5 to 7, Monday through Saturday, Sunday 5 to 5. Again, exit 39B off Route 50, headed east. That's Dominion Road. Phone number 410-604-2500. Everything you need for fishing, crabbing, archery, and hunting. Chesapeake Outdoors. Okay, now we're back with Eric Zlokovich with the Maryland Department of Natural Resources, and Eric is the Recreational Fishing and Public Access Outreach Coordinator for the Maryland Fishing and Boating Services. And Eric is talking about summertime fishing. We were talking about spot, and you talked about the yellow perch. It's a white perch coming in. A lot of people like to eat those white perch, as do I. And Robin likes them, too. She cooks them up really good. Yeah. You like spot?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, spot's good. I like spot.
I think white perch are my favorite.
Are they? Yeah. They're very good. Very good. So, so tell us about the Lower Bay, Eric. What's going on down there?
Yeah, so the Lower Bay, The lower bay is interesting. It seems like for the second year in a row, we're getting a pretty decent run of cobia down there. They're coming up, you know, from Virginia waters.
Right.
They're coming up from, like, Smith Point and from further south. Just following food, I guess, you know, feeding on menhaden or they're opportunistic feeders. They just kind of cruise around and feed on whatever they can get. And so they're catching some big cobia, you know, up to, you know, I've seen some pictures from down south of, you know, possible 50-pound fish.
Nice.
And they're catching them down around the target ship and the northwest and southwest middle grounds down there.
That's one fish on my bucket list right there, brother.
Yeah.
That one's on my bucket list.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I actually did catch one with a friend of mine down in the Virginia part of the bay around Latimer Shoals and Kipta Peak, and it was pretty cool. And they're really delicious. They're great eating. They're kind of a dense meat. Like, it's almost like it's a cross between a halibut and a tuna.
They're fantastic eating.
Yeah, just delicious.
Lemon juice, butter, and wine, and just saute them, man.
Yeah, but so you have to be prepared. You know that they're big, strong fish. The guys are they're chumming and they're dropping live eels back in the slick. The live bait tends to be good for cobia. Also, just the fresh chunk bait will catch them.
Right,
but the live eels and live spot are known to be good for cobia. A few guys are having some luck sight casting for them with big bucktails and big skirted jigs if they can find them cruising on the surface or around buoys or just around, you know, structure. They'll find them that way. So that's been interesting.
Have we gotten any reports of any spade fish in the bay?
I haven't had any reliable reports on them, but I did actually certify the bay state record, which was 10 pounds back in about, I would say, 2007, when I was working for Marty Gary. And
right.
that fish was caught off Point Lookout on a charter boat, bottom fishing.
Really, bottom fishing.
Pretty cool, yeah.
Yeah, spade fish and cobia tend to hang around structure, and the preferred bait for them, believe it or not, is sea nettle.
Is that right?
Yeah. You got to wear gloves, and you get a nettle, and you try to figure out how to wrap it as best you can and hook it on a hook and send that slimy mess out there by structure, and those spade fish will chew on it.
Oh, man. Yeah, I've never actually targeted them. I've heard that you have to be very specific with the type of hooks that you use for them. And I think I've also heard people using tiny pieces of shrimp, maybe.
Yep. It's a long shank hooks, very like almost like a winter flounder hook. And they have a very small mouth. And they're basically like a big angelfish that you have in your aquarium.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, really, they are, you know, from what I can tell and what I've heard, and I wish I could catch one of those too, another fish on the bucket list, is that it's like fighting a giant bluegill. You know, they're a big wide body, you know, and a 10-pound fish like that, they're very sporting from what I understand, so.
Yeah, they probably just put that body sideways against the current, and then, right, then you have a hard, tough battle on your hands there, right?
Right,
yeah.
Exactly.
So, in terms of these more exotic fish, there's also been some sheep's head documented down in the lower bay, and they catch a few of them around the artificial reef down in Tangier Sound where it's high salinity.
Right.
And there's oysters and all kinds of other marine growth growing on the concrete material down there in Tangier Sound at the artificial reef site. which is marked on an article chart. It's just above the Virginia line near the Fox Island buoy, and it's a triangular shape. The reef site is it's a triangle, and it's marked as a fish haven on the nautical chart.
Wow, nice.
And they catch sheephead there and also tautog. It's one of the only really reliable spots, I think, for tautog in the bay.
In the bay, sure.
You can actually catch you can catch numbers of fish there in the fall. Yeah.
Yep. I've caught flounder in the bay. I've caught black sea bass in the bay. I've never caught a tautog in the bay. I've always caught them in Delaware Bay. And, again, the cobia and the spadefish are the two that, you know, if I ever get to fish the eastern shore of Virginia, and I think we'll be doing that pretty soon, that's where, you know, that's you fish the structure, you fish the pilings, and, you know, not necessarily real deep water down there for the cobia and the spadefish. So I'm looking I'm looking forward to that.
So. Yeah, that's cool. That's good stuff. So it's all there's also been pretty steady blue fishing down there for fish, you know, good eating size blue fish ranging from like 1 to 4 pounds.
Right.
And they're trolling them on spoons and the surgical hoses.
Yeah.
You know, that's the reliable way to catch them, especially if they're spread out. You know,
sure.
Trolling, and they're catching some Spanish mackerel. They've been catching them since early July down there.
Right.
And the mackerel like a small spoon trolled fast.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
They're a cool fish. Very pretty fish, and I think they're actually I actually like eating mackerel if they're fresh or smoked. They're actually pretty darn good in my opinion, and same thing with bluefish, man. I think they're underrated. I think they're excellent smoked, and they're great. The small ones are really good if you eat them fresh.
Exactly.
So,
well, we've invested in a smoker, so we're just looking forward to smoking some bluefish and some tuna and some other stuff that or salmon and some other stuff that we're planning on here real soon. So can't wait.
Yeah.
Can't wait. So, but yeah, I love people say, oh, bluefish, they're oily and all that stuff. If you fillet a bluefish and you cut that dark red meat out of the side, you just, you know, just cut your fillet in half and trim off that red lateral line fat, that dark flesh, you can get a really nice bluefish fillet and grill them, and they're just delicious, no question. So
that's definitely
yep.
Also in addition to the trolling, you can find pods of breaking bluefish and even Spanish mackerel, on the surface down in the lower bay chasing bay anchovies and other small bait. And if you can get in there and cast to them with metals like a gotcha plug.
Yeah.
Or, any kind of small metals like the little bunker spoons or Hopkins or Castmasters.
Oh, I love Castmaster. That's my favorite spoon.
Yeah, yeah. And, kind of a fast retrieve up near the surface, you know, that's fun. That's, you know, for catching blues. And with the small blues, you don't need a wire leader. Just like a little heavier mono leader.
Or braid.
Yeah, or braid, and you're good to go. You don't really, in fact, if you use a leader, you'll cut down on the number of strikes.
Right.
And you want to have a shot at catching some mackerel, too, which I have caught them casting gotcha plugs in the bay off Chrisfield when they're breaking on the surface. And, you know, they use the gotcha plugs for Spanish mackerel down in the Carolinas off the piers, you know, and I found that they do work in the bay, and guys have had success with that.
Sure.
And other small metals and even some small hair jigs, anything with a slim profile. Yeah.
Yep. Got it.
So that's cool if you can get into those breaking blues and mackerel and cast to them.
Sure.
That's really,
and if you want to go out in that Tangier Sound area, I'd recommend you go to Summers Cove Marina or contact Summers Cove Marina. There's probably a couple of charter boats right out of there that are very familiar with that whole area down there.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Curtis Johns has been down there forever.
Yep.
He was really helpful with us on the artificial reef project.
Yep. Is Kevin Josenhans down there, too?
Yeah, he's down that way. He's a very well-known light tackle guy down in that lower eastern shore region.
Yep.
And, yeah, so Somers Cove is officially on our list for the Maryland Angler Award program this year.
Good.
So if you and if you are down in that area, which is very, you know, there aren't too many. It's a very isolated area.
It is.
There
you're right.
Too many options.
You're right.
So yeah,
it's definitely not overfished like the Upper Bay. That's for sure.
So. Yeah, it's a whole different world. But you can check your fish in at Somers Cove for the Angler Awards. You know, you just. It helps to have the fish and a documented length, or if you're doing a catch and release award, a photograph of the fish,
right?
And you can check them in at Somers Cove and get a ticket number, and then you can enter in your ticket to get a certificate and with the Angler Award Program.
Good.
It's a cool, it's a really neat area down there. It's kind of a different world. Yeah. So, the lower eastern shore, you know, lots of interesting opportunities down there and the more exotic species because it's the higher salinity, you know.
Sure.
A little closer to the ocean down there.
Yep. Hey, Eric, we got a caller on the line. Larry and Chase would like to talk to you. Larry, good morning.
Oh, okay. Good morning, guys.
Yeah, what's up?
You were talking about live line and spot.
Yep.
Where do you place the hook in the spot?
Well, that's a good question. Different guys have different techniques, but I tend to put it right through, near the dorsal fin in the middle of the back. Is usually the way I fish them, and I've had. You know, pretty good success with that. Some guys, you know, I've never done this, but I've heard of some guys hooking them through the lips, possibly.
Yeah.
Or if you want to make them swim at a slightly different angle, some guys put the hook a little bit closer to the tail.
Yep.
But the thing, but with rockfish though, they tend to hit a bait head first. So you have to give them a little bit of time. You don't want to set the hook right away. You got to give them a little bit of time to take that bait down and turn it and to take the bait in.
Larry?
Yeah, I'm listening.
Are you a deer hunter?
Yeah.
Are you a deer hunter?
No deer hunting.
No deer hunting. Okay. When you hook a fish below the dorsal fin, there's two things you have to avoid. If you go too high, you're going to hit the spine and you're going to kill the fish. If you go too low, you're going to hit the internal organs and kill the fish. So you got to find that. You got to find that in a deer, we'd call it the backstrap. You know, you got to find that. You got to find that loin area where it's nothing but meat right there.
Okay.
And that's where the hook goes, below the spine, above the internal organs, right behind the dorsal fin.
Okay.
And
now,
again, make sure your hook is sharp, and when you put that hook through, as Eric mentioned earlier, be sure there's no scales that you've dragged onto that hook point. You know.
Yeah. Now I'm in gunpowder. I usually fish up around pools and all.
Right.
It's little croakers. Do they be good for that?
I don't know anything that the fish is going to eat is going to be good. If you get a little croaker, a little white perch, I mean, they use it all.
Okay, because that's what I usually do. I take worms out, you know, catch some. I've been chunking them, but this sounds like it would be more interesting.
Yeah, well, the white perch is a softer, fleshy fish, you know, and easier for them to swallow. But they also have the spines on the top.
Right.
So, you know, the spot is kind of a compromise. You know, it's a soft, it's not as harsh of a fish for the stripers to eat.
Yeah, I used to, when I was a teenager, I made it out of Kent Moore in Kent.
Oh, well, there you go. Sure.
But I never did any live line, and we used eels and stuff.
Yeah, well, you do have to give them that moment of hesitation for them to take the bait. And what they'll do is they'll grab it sideways, they'll take it for a bit, that you'll feel the stop, they'll turn it, and then try to swallow it head first. So
okay.
you got to give them a chance to take that bait, turn it, and get the head and the body in their mouth and start to swallow it before you can set the hook. And with a circle hook, you know, it's not a snap your wrist jerk on the line. You just kind of pull steady pressure and the fish will hook itself in the corner of the mouth.
All right, great. Thanks a lot, guys.
You like that, Eric? Was that a good answer?
Yeah, that was good. You're exactly right. Yeah, put it through that muscle tissue in that back and
yep.
avoid the spine, right? That's right.
Exactly.
Sure. And if you use a croaker, remember they got to be legal. I believe it's 9 inches. They will work. The stripers, rockfish love croaker, but it's got to be a legal size, or you can get in trouble for possession if they're undersized.
There you go.
Just a heads up. Yeah.
We'll keep this between ourselves then.
No, no, just obey the law. That's all, Larry.
Yeah, all right,
guys.
Thank you.
Thanks, Larry.
Bye.
Bye-bye. There goes Larry. Dropped Eric. Doggone it.
Can you grab Eric? Is he still on there?
We got him. Okay, great. All right. Should we take a break or take a call? Let's take a call, and then we'll take the break at the end of the hour. Go ahead. There's Eric. Are you with me?
Yeah, I got you. Yep.
All right. And Uncle Dale in Easton. Good morning, Dale.
Morning, Alan. Eric, how you doing?
Hey, Dale, how are you?
Hi, how's your family?
Doing
getting big, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, big, real
yeah.
big. Yeah, Ethan's going to be quite a big kid, I think, actually. he's 10. He's 10 now.
Oh, good Lord.
12.
Good Lord.
Yeah.
Eric, one species you've not mentioned, and it's kind of an interesting species, is red drum. I know around the bay there are certain little locations. If you know where they are, they're channel bass there. And I don't know whether whether the reports have been seeing some fish. I know several years ago there was a pretty strong run of fish. I guess it was a strong year class because they were popping up all over. But I've not heard a whole lot about this year. But what have you heard about channel bass?
Yeah, the red drum or the channel bass as they're known, right? They are some schools of them coming in and down in the lower bay, Dale, and they're kind of near that area where the guys are cobia fishing.
Okay.
I've heard that they're down around the middle ground area and the target ships down in the lower bay, and they've also been. You know, what I've been hearing, sometimes you can actually catch them on chunking on the bottom with fresh cut, you know, menhaden. That's one good way to catch them. But they've also been kind of charging around on the surface the last couple of years. And some guys have been, you know, trolling spoons for them or casting into them with lead head jigs or casting spoons and catching them when they're breaking on the surface. Mm-hmm. And they're pretty good sized fish. I mean, I've heard, you know, up, you know, these bull red drum up to like, you know, 30 pounds or so, in some cases. And
what about in the mid bay, Eric? Any reports? Because I know years going by, we see them in the mid bay area, you know, mouth of Chop Tank and all the way up in the Eastern Bay.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, some of the white tackle guys have been getting them in the mouth of the Chop Tank around Poplar Island,
mm-hmm.
and then up into Eastern Bay casting small paddle tail jigs, you know, in shallower water.
Sure.
I'm not sure. I haven't heard a lot of that this year, but if it's going to happen, it's going to happen soon. You know.
Soon, you bet.
Yeah.
Getting out of here.
Yep,
yeah,
exactly. Well, guys, Rudy yeah. called in last week. I don't know if you heard the call or not, but he said there was a girl paddleboarding in Eastern Bay in shallow water and took a video of a fish that was under her paddleboard, and Rudy estimated it to be a 15 to 20 pound channel bass. So You know, that's you might want to try some top water in the shallows, huh?
I actually did see that video, and that was way up in Eastern Bay near the Chesapeake Bay Environmental Center up there in Graysonville. Yeah,
yeah.
One of those Red Drum hotspots, Alan, is on the other side off of Tillman Creek and Tillman Point.
Right, exactly.
That's a good spot over there. So,
all right. Well, guys. Yeah. We're quickly running out of time. We have to take our last commercial break. So,
Eric, good luck and keep your head down.
All right. good advice for where you're working.
Keep your head down, man. Thanks, Alan. I'll talk to you later.
All right, Dale. Thanks, buddy. All right. We'll say goodbye to Dale and keep Eric there. And let me tell you one more time about a couple of our best sponsors, and one of them is Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne. Go in there and check out the Browning Firearms. Browning has got some rebates in place you might want to check out. And Clyde's can get you familiarized with all that. Of course, they got the full line of handguns as well for home protection, personal protection, shotguns, and all that. Not just about hunting. Of course, if you want to check out the new line of Bear crossbows for the upcoming season, they just brought on in Bear. You know, Bear Archery now makes a great crossbow. Check that out along with the Coda bow. And ask them about the Thompson Center muzzleloaders, and ask them about that new Remington muzzleloader that is called the Ultimate. Yeah, you'll find that all at Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road, celebrating 60 years. Phone number 410-242-6108. That's 242-6108. 24-hour fishing hotline, 247-FISH for Clyde Sports Shop. And at Chesapeake Outdoors, mark the date for August 26th. That's a Saturday. Big savings, big sale. We'll bring you more details as we get a little closer. Next week, we'll tell you more about it, and the following week as well. It's a clearance sale on Hoyt bows. That's going on right now, but you can save up to 75% on other gear, other hunting equipment, and some other stuff that they're going to put on sale on the 26th. So keep in mind, it's a big day for that. At Chesapeake Outdoors. They're located on right off Route 50 East, exit 39B. That's Dominion Road on Kent Island. Phone number 410-604-2500. 410-604-2500. Be sure to stop in and see their full selection of archery equipment, all the fish and tackle. Get your bait and your crabbing supplies right there at Chesapeake Outdoors.
WCBM, Baltimore.
Thunderstorms rumbling in for the top of our weekend forecast here in Baltimore as the cold front moves on through. Had some heavy rain around, and showers, thunderstorms continue here into the early afternoon today in the low 80s. Clearing tonight, 64. Partly cloudy, lower humidity tomorrow. Nice looking Sunday. High temps near 80 degrees, good 10 degrees below average. More thunder showers possible for Monday and low 80s. I'm Scott Laurie, more at the Weather Channel for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you.
Alan Ellis here for Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie Spray-On Bedliners. Linex Spray-On Bedliners rated number one, carrying nationwide lifetime warranty. Linex Spray-On Bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust in your bed. Your tools, your tackle, your crabbing and hunting gear can't hurt your truck bed. Choose the Linex Premium Bedliner or the Linex Extra. Both look great. And Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards. You get it. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex spray-on bed liner, truck gear, and accessories. Catonsville Linex, new location, 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill, just off Security Boulevard across from Coons Ford, 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Linex.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and at a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire and Auto.
Hey, they're celebrating their 25th anniversary at Bow Hunter's Den in Finksburg, Maryland, right there at the intersection of Route 32 and Route 91, 3950 Sykesville Road. That's next Saturday and Sunday, August 19th and 20th, and it's the grand opening of their indoor archery range. There'll be factory reps on hand. You can win door prizes. They're giving away a Matthews Z3 bow. That's for sure. Bow Hunter's Den in on Sykesville Road in Finksburg. That phone number, 410-751-2494. BowHuntersDenMaryland.com is the website. Be sure to help them celebrate their 25th anniversary with giveaways and the grand opening of the indoor archery range right there in Finksburg. Bow Hunter's Den. We're back with Eric Slokovich, and we're almost out of time. So, Eric? Hello, Eric.
Yes,
all right,
sir,
buddy.
Okay.
Sorry about that. We ran out of time, but let's talk. You talked about the Angler Award program. There's also a great youth fishing program that DNR is working, and they can find all about that by meeting up with you guys at the State Fair coming up this month.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we'll be at the State Fair starting Friday, August 25th. In the DNR building, we're indoors, it's air conditioned, so if you want a break from the heat, take a little, you know, get a little change of pace, come inside the DNR building. We'll have fisheries there, plus we'll have scales and tails, and the wildlife crew will be there with their birds.
Beautiful.
You know, falcons and that sort of thing.
Got it.
Probably have some little touch tanks, and yeah, the youth fishing program, you can just, do a search for youth fishing, Maryland DNR, and it'll come up.
Yep.
Youth fishing club. We've got rodeos going on the weekends all summer, and I'm actually going to stop by the first annual Seabeck rodeo in Graysonville today.
Well, that sounds like fun.
Yeah, yeah. Me and my son are going to go there and try to catch a few fish in the pond there.
So
I'm just gonna. Maybe if we're lucky, you might catch a bass or some bluegill.
Got it.
I'm going to just help out. Yeah.
Good. All right. Well, folks in C in Graysonville today, thank you, buddy. Appreciate you joining us. We're out of time. Eric, as always, a pleasure. Thanks.